Hello, and welcome to Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Join us every Monday morning. This is where we'll tell you what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We'll keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing, and talk to interesting people involved in the entertainment scene here in town. After being held up by snow and family illness, time ran out for us to talk to Patricia Crespin about her play El Corrido de Jorge before its opening at the National Hispanic Cultural Center on February 1st. So, instead, our special guest is Mags Gallegos, who is directing the world premiere of Patricia's play. But before we get to Mags, let's look at what's on stage now and what's coming up. Theatre Grotesco's Pi continues its run at the Q Staff Theatre through the 27th. Florian Zeller's The Father continues its run through February 4th at The Vortex. Q Solo at the Oxdog runs through the 28th. The Adobe Theatre Double Wide Texas continues through February 11th. Frank Wildhorn's musical version of Bonnie and Clyde opens February 2nd at MTS Center for Theatre and runs through February 25th. And Albuquerque Little Theatre now continues a three-week run of Wait Until Dark. Siembra Latino Theatre opens its season on February 1st at the National Hispanic Cultural Center with local playwright Patricia Crespin's El Corrido de Jorge. Also on February 1st, Popejoy brings in the Russian National Ballet Theatre's Swan Lake, and Matthew Aid's adaptation of George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession opens at the Oxdog on February 2nd and runs through the 25th. Right behind that, Love, Loss, and What I Wore plays at the Adobe for a short run, opening on the 15th and closing on the 18th of February. The Jewish Community Center Performing Arts presents Up Quartet with an evening of chamber music on February 10th, and Mummenschanz hits Popejoy for a matinee performance on the 17th. Then, Opera Southwest presents five performances of Hector Armiento's world premiere opera, Bless Me Ultima. Based on Rodolfo Anaya's well-known and loved book of the same name, you've read the book, you've seen the play and the movie, now see and hear the opera, February 18th through the 25th. And Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery, hits Popejoy on Friday the 23rd for two performances. This is one of the shows that Terry Davis talked about as one of his favorites during our first ATG podcast. Shows coming in March around town include The Effect, Art, and A Chorus Line, and more on those later. Upcoming auditions include Shakespeare's Measure for Measure at the Oxdog on January 30th and 31st, and the Adobe will be accepting appointments for audition for Agatha Christie's mystery Black Coffee on February 10th and 11th. Also on February 10th are music auditions for MTS Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. For times, tickets, and other information on any of these events, please revisit Albuquerque Theatre Guild's website at www.abqtheatre.com. That's www.abqtheatre.com. And now let's ask Mags Gallegos to join us as our special guest today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Glad you could make it today. So before we get into El Corrido, let's talk a little bit about Mags. Tell me something about your background.
All right. Well, I have my undergraduate degree from the University of New Mexico in playwriting, and that's where I first met Patricia Crespin. We were in a Latino playwriting class together, and so that was the first time I got to read tons of her scripts, and she's just a very talented person. I guess also there, one of our cast members, Don Garcia, was also in that program. He's a great writer as well and a brilliant actor. But I got to be in a nice little playwriting community, and so that's where I first met Patricia. After I graduated, I had the opportunity to direct one of her plays called The Three Señorita Pegletitas and El Diablo the Wolf. Don Garcia was also in that play, and it's... yeah, it was just one of my favorite experiences. And I've directed a couple of times for her since then. We just really connect as a writer-director duo. So she's the first, you know, the first time I directed anything was with her. And so that's, I guess, where I come from. Is that's where I'm getting to, you know, go to be a director. But some other things about me, I also do script supervising in the film industry, and I also stage manage a lot of plays. So that's probably more what I do, but I enjoy directing a lot.
That's good information to have.
Yeah. Well, just throwing it out there.
For those who need a script supervisor or a stage manager, Mags is the person to call.
Certainly. Yes, or a writer. Or a writer.
Or a writer.
Yes.
The emphasis being on writer.
Yes.
I do a lot of the 48-hour film things, and they do meetups, meet and greets before they launched their 48-hour festival that year. And the people who show up are typically actors, just a room full of actors, and writers. The writers have discovered that that's where they have a possible inroad, because every team needs a writer who can write just very quickly.
So. Oh, yes. I've written one 48 before for Siren 13 Media, and that was a whole lot of fun.
Very good, very good. Well, I've done some work with Siren, so I know who they are. A good group of filmmakers.
Yes.
So let's talk about El Corrido. What is this story?
The story takes place in two locations, Nogales, Mexico, and Northern New Mexico. We follow George/Jorge. He goes by both in the play, depending on the time. We follow him throughout the play, searching for his father, his estranged father, who abandoned him and his siblings when he was younger. And so he sort of blames his father for his mother's death, and so he goes down to Mexico looking for him, seeking revenge. And then you'll have to come to the show to see the rest of it.
I see. No spoilers here. No spoilers. Well, is this based on a true story? Do you know?
No. I know it's dedicated to Patricia's dad, but I don't think there's a whole lot of... I don't know. I know the play is dedicated to her father, but I don't think it's based on a true story.
All right. Well,
there's, you know, like any writer, just little areas of your family just kind of pop up in places. So,
what's going to catch my attention if I decide that I want to come down to see the play? What's going to catch my attention to draw me down there?
Well, we are going to have live music throughout the play. Our lead, George, does play his guitar throughout the play, and it's a very sweet story. It takes you on a roller coaster of emotions. You'll laugh, you'll be very angry, you'll be sad. It just, this play has everything. It's very dear to my heart right now.
Okay, very well. That's good. It's a good, yeah. good mixture of thing, and you'll walk away with things to think about.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's just a whole lot to think about in the play. I've, you know, throughout this whole experience, I could say that when I first read this play and to right now, I think I'm directing an entirely different script. Just the actors have brought so much life to the characters, and then adding the sound and the set has just really created this world, and I'm lucky to have such a dedicated team who is giving it their all. And so they're wonderful.
It helps to have a good team.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I say that a director's job is 80% done with the casting.
Yes, I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, they're making it. I'm like, you know what? If we just had a Black Box Theater right now and they were just going up there and performing, I think the play would still be very interesting. So that's a good feeling. But
okay, what now? Hispanic Cultural Center has three different performance stages, I believe. Which one are you going to be performing on?
Oh, we're at the Wells Fargo Auditorium. So
okay, that's the medium-sized one?
I think it's the smaller one. I don't know. For me, I walked in, I was like, oh, this is a lot bigger than I remember it being. And I know it's a small theater, but I guess when you're used to doing just a little tiny...
Well, it's bigger than a black space. Box.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's usually what, you know, I'm used to performing in. So I was like, oh, there's so many possibilities here. So
right.
I'm really excited.
Well, there are a lot of good venues in Albuquerque, and the Wells Fargo Theater has a good sponsor behind them, obviously. Yeah. And so it's got the modern touches, as I recall.
It's nice. It's a really nice theater. Yeah.
The acoustics are good. You've got a good cast of people. I know some of them. I've worked with some of them. They're a good cast. Tell us about who's bringing these characters to life for you.
All right. Well, our lead, George/Jorge, is played by Daniel Luciano Cruz. He is an actor-writer from Taos, New Mexico. I've known him for quite some time. I think you have probably met him before,
Danny.
Too.
Yeah, I know Danny.
Yes. Let me see here. And Danny Belvin is also a part of our cast. She plays Becky. She is currently... she works at Harwood School and has been a part of Blackout Theater Company for a lot of their productions. Danny's a wonderful actor, stage manager, and friend. So I'm really excited to have her on board. There's Alma Zathura. She's playing Ricarda. That's George's mother. She's a local film actress and has done some theatrical work. She was Frida Kahlo.
I lit that show.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so Alma's wonderful. Yes. Alma's wonderful. let me see here. Dean Stone, he is George's father, Francisco. And Dean is, I would say, mainly a film actor. This is his first theatrical experience, and I'm so pleased to have him on board because Dean is just a go-getter. He... I'm going to shamelessly plug him right now. I'm like, but he's a wonderful person to have on set. He does everything, and he's a great actor, too. So he's just giving it his all, and I'm really pleased to have him on board. Then we also have Frida Mercury. She is an actress model. This is my first time working with her, but she's been great. And then we also have... Don Garcia, as I mentioned before, I have worked plenty of times in theater for Don. I've also acted for him in a couple of his plays. He's a wonderful writer, a great actor, and he plays bass for a local band here. I'm trying a name on their name. I feel so bad now.
Oh, he'll tell you when you get
yeah,
to
no,
rehearsal.
I'm like, donate me, Don.
He's not going to hate you. These interviews can be a little stressful, and sometimes we forget things.
I'm going to remember like midway or after I leave here, and I'm just like, oh no. But yes, Don's a great guy, and he, like I said, he's been in multiple plays that I've done, especially directing for Patricia. So I know this part was particularly written for him. So he's just definitely giving it his all, and I'm really happy that he's on board. And I also have a great technical crew going on right now. Joseph Wasson has done the lighting, and it has been brilliant. He just put them up, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It's like you got into my head. Amber Earls is doing the sound design. My friend Brianne Santos is the stage manager, and I have Courtney Butler doing makeup design. And then I also have some great set builders, Mikey Dines and Edward Carillon. And they've just, you know, I couldn't be more grateful for the crew that I've had and the cast and for Patricia for writing this great play and then asking me to direct it for. It's kind of, I don't know, it's pleasing when somebody writes something and asks you multiple times because you have a good connection. So I'm, you know, I think she's more like my family now. So.
Well, nice. It's nice to be wanted.
Yeah.
I tell young young filmmakers, young theater people, now is the time to put your teams together, because they'll be with you throughout your life if you get the right people. And it pays to get your team together early so that you don't get to be later in life looking for people.
Oh, yeah.
Process is different for every director. Even directors who use similar styles. What would you say your directing style is? What's your process?
It just depends. I try to use a different approach to different actors, because sometimes some actors really benefit from actor exercises. Some really benefit from just reading the script multiple times and asking them. I guess I do this for all of them. I ask them questions when we go through the script. I make notes on just certain lines and how we could view them differently, and if we, you know, say them differently, what that means to the line that comes next to them. I guess I probably take directing more from, as I think about it, I think on a playwriting level. So I'm always, I love to do new works because I love to explore what the writer was doing. I like to talk to the writer and see what they had in mind, and, you know, we talk a lot that way. And then just to produce a work that maybe can go on to do something else. But sorry, I got a little carried on there. So I'll just ask them questions about what it means to be this character. I feel like a lot of my directing experience has come from Denise Schultz when she was at UNM, and she was just a wonderful director. So I definitely take a lot of her tips from her directing class into mind, and just like, oh, okay, let me get a collage and let me look at the different levels of the script, and just I go about it in so many different ways. But I really do, when I have actors in the moment, I like to ask them questions and really figure out the best way to pull the best out of them. And sometimes it's just by asking tons of questions. Sometimes it's making them sit down, get up, whenever the dynamics change in the script. And it's been really helpful. So I try to get them off book really early, so that way, oh great, I'm letting out my secret here. Like, I try to get everyone off book right away, because it usually doesn't happen right away. And I like to have myself like a week to, come on guys, you can do it. They're doing great. I'm so proud of them.
Every director that I know wishes their cast were off book the day after they get the script.
Yeah, I was like, let's start moving around. But yeah, they've been great. And Daniel, I'm so impressed with him, because he has to perform some live music. He is in every scene and has heavy dialogue. And just the range of emotion he has in there is... it's been a lot, and he's really just been super dedicated to it. And everybody's been helping do their props. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm just so happy for them. Like, you guys were, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't just claim prop design or anything, because I'm like, everybody has played a big role in doing different things with their costumes, with the props. And like I said, they're really bringing these characters to life. And I enjoy seeing what the actor and what other designers have to say about the character. And it's very much a collaboration and not just my view.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. It's always good to have an ensemble that includes everybody, the cast and the crew.
Yeah.
One of the things that is important to me as a director when I'm directing, and even as an actor, is that everybody is recognized, because without any one of them, you don't have the same show.
No, not at all.
And so...
like, once they've learned all their lines and we added the lights, I'm like, oh, hello, the sound. Oh my gosh. Like, I was like, I'm feeling so many feels.
Well, that's good. That's really good. And it sounds like it's going to be at least an exciting ensemble to watch. I don't know that the show will be that exciting, because I don't know really anything about it. It's a brand new show. It sounds like it has some potential for lots of things, and listening to you talk about it, it sets up some pretty big expectations.
Yeah.
Are you ready for those?
Oh, yes, I am. I don't think I ever really read reviews from people, but you know, I'm definitely ready to have people come, and there isn't a doubt in my mind that they will leave the theater feeling dissatisfied with the play at all. I think there will be a lot to think about, and they will have a lot of emotions, but I think everybody will thoroughly enjoy themselves.
What do you think is the central emotion, the central drive of the play?
I think loss, just because it affects every little part of the play. I mean, George, from the get-go, experiences a loss of his childhood. He, you know, his father isn't around very much, and he's left to take care of his mom and his siblings, and he carries a big load for a young man having to do those things. And he's coming to grips with the fact that, you know, this is his reality, and he's got big dreams to be a singer and a songwriter, and he has all these blocks in his way. And, you know, throughout the play, his father comes one last time, and so he loses his father for good, and right after, his mother for good. And then his, you know, his mother is his stone, and she just, you know, she dies really young and leaves him with his siblings. And so he's left with a lot of hurt, which, you know, fuels a lot of anger inside of him to find his father and to seek revenge. And a lot of the play is him dealing with all these losses and the anger that's come from that. So there's definitely a lot of issues in there that, you know, I think are very important. I got my master's degree in family studies, and it's just it's very much, I guess, in so many ways, I'm like, oh, that's just so very sad for George. So I think, you know, that other people will enjoy this play, not if you're just from a theater background. So there's a lot of issues that the play delves into, but I think a lot of loss is what fuels the play, and sometimes that's just where a lot of the humor comes out of the play as well. So,
is there a broad opportunity for identification, or is it more of a you're watching somebody else's tribulations, and there's an opportunity, but not necessarily a direct application in your own life?
I think that there might be, yeah, no, I don't know. We'll see what am I with my answer. I think there's definitely a lot of opportunities to look at somebody else living their life and how that experience is playing out for them. And I think there will be hints where the audience can relate to the matters at hand. I know, you know, just with my cast, we've all, you know, discuss what it means to lose somebody who is the number one person in your life. Some of our cast members have, you know, experienced loss at a young age, and, you know, what has affected them as they're getting older, and just those feelings of anger and not knowing. And I think we all know or remember what it was like to be a teenager growing up, and some of the just how difficult it is having all those feelings. So I think that everybody will be able to relate for the most part on that level as well, just to see, well, while this is, he's going through all these situations and he's, you know, a younger kid, and this is what the play takes place in two different time periods. So we have George when he's a young teenager, and then George when he's in his, I would say, early mid-20s. So there's just two different Georges on stage.
Okay. We were hoping, of course, to talk to Patricia before the show went open, and she has some other things that have kept her from getting here, some snow and some illness in the family. And
oh, no, it's that's what, things, so. Like, I think that's been this year.
Yeah,
like, has it? Yes. I'm like, oh, the snow's making things difficult. Everybody's getting sick. I'm like, oh, gosh.
And, yeah, the flu is going around like crazy this year. So, but I think maybe she set you with some words of wisdom?
You know, I was like, is there anything specific you want me to mention? I think I was really stressed out about it. I was like, I can hit these key points. I'll wiggle something in there. But she was just like, just be you and go for it. And I was like, okay.
Well, that's good. You have. So I want to thank you for being with us. But before we wrap up, do you have any last sorts of things you'd like to tell the audience about this?
No, I would just like to, you know, see them there, and I would, you know, I plan on being there every night, which I don't think is very common for a director of a play. I'll stop the directing the night before we open, but I'm definitely going to be there to support my cast. And if you see me in the audience, I would love to hear your feedback on, you know, if you had questions or, you know, what you enjoyed most about it. Please don't tell us how to rewrite it, but I, you know, this is the first time, it's a world premiere play, and I know the writer, you know, loves feedback, and we would love to, you know, see her play go to the next level for the next time it's performed. And so I will definitely take all your feedback into consideration, and of course, I'm very grateful that you showed up to support my cast and my technical crew and the National Hispanic Cultural Center, as well as theater in Albuquerque and local playwrights.
And the dates are, again?
We open on February 1st. That's a Thursday, which is, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. that's odd for some people, but we do open on a Thursday, and we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday shows. It looks like they are at 7:30, and then Sunday we have a 2 p.m. Matinee. There are special pricings for Thursday shows, so if you want to get out there for a Thursday, that's great. And, yeah, we appreciate your support.
Good. We've been talking to Mags Gallegos, who is the director for El Corrido de Jorge. George's song that is playing at the Hispanic Cultural Center 2 weeks.
2 weeks. February 1st.
Opening February 1st. So, Mags, thank you for being with us.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
That does it for us this week. Join us again next week as the Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast will keep you up to date on what's playing and bring you special features like performance interviews and a bit of insider knowledge. If you've been enjoying our programs, please like us, comment, and share with your friends on other social media platforms. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next week.